Welcome back to the Potted Together podcast. My name is Becca, and I am joined by, We are conjoined. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Adam and Nicole.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, you guys. So glad to be back for another Monday hanging out. I hope that everyone out there listening had a most beautiful weekend. Hopefully it's warming up. Well, it should be pretty warm by now. So anyway, just wanted to say a sweet Monday greeting. And today we are going to be talking about vacationing and plants. So what to do with your plants when you go out of town and everything like that. So we are all vaccinated at this point. At the point that we're recording, we're not.
Yeah.
But I think at the point that this goes up, we will be fully vaxxed.
Think so. How exciting is that?
Oh, wait, no. Nicole, you and I are getting our vaxes on Wednesday of this week.
Well, I'm excited
it's
then.
It's going up.
I'm excited
okay.
then.
So, like, freedom is within reaches very soon. Hopefully much of the United States is on the same track anyway. And most other countries, too. I think the United States has been really quick with the rollout. But yeah. I don't know about other countries necessarily. I'm kind of just staying in my lane here. But
yeah.
Anyway, vacationing is going to be a thing either this year or next. Fingers crossed. So we wanted to talk about, you know, what we've done in the past and how you can prepare yourself if you're leaving town anytime soon.
Yeah, because your plants need that plan in place.
Yes. Okay, so in lieu of ketchup, because, yeah, this is our second episode we're recording in this sitting, so there's really not much to catch up on. But we wanted to, in the theme of vacationing, we want to just briefly chat about some vacations that we've taken, maybe a special moment from a vacation that we've taken, because travel stories are the best stories.
They
so
are.
Hopefully we'll be making some more. But let's just review a fun travel story. So whoever wants to go first.
I'm curious, did either of you two, like, growing up, did you guys, like, go on family vacations a lot?
I didn't.
Okay.
We did.
You did?
Yeah, which I'm realizing now was, like, a really big luxury. I noticed it, like, when I'm talking with Dan about places that I've been and everything. He did a lot of road tripping around the U.S., which we did, too, but we also would go to, like, Disney or Hawaii and stuff like that. We went on a cruise, so my family really had the ability to prioritize travel like that.
That's awesome.
So great.
So yeah, I was lucky.
Yeah, we did go on vacations every year. I'm gonna do air quotes on vacations because my family hails from Maryland. My mom and my dad were both born in Maryland, mm-hmm. and so all of my family is there, like my extended mm-hmm. family. So we would drive from Nebraska to Maryland, which is 23 hours in a car straight
wow.
through
oh my God.
Every summer.
That is so Midwest of you guys.
I know. And my mom had a two-door Monte Carlo. Mind you, I'm 6'4", and I became 6'4" when I was like going through puberty. So I would say my junior and senior year in high school, I was 6'4", and we were still all piling into a two-door car and driving 23 hours to Maryland. But while I was there, I did get the luxury of seeing, like, Washington, D.C. I went to Hershey Park a few times, so, like, the Hershey Factory, and they have a theme park there. It was so cool, but that's not my favorite vacation. I just wanted to ask if you guys, like, did that, you know, consistently, which
mm-hmm. We
nice.
Didn't. We only took one trip when I was a child. And I think it just had a lot to do with the fact that my dad worked in construction and he didn't get a lot of time off of work. And they just weren't big travelers. But I do remember going on a family trip when I was like 5. We went to Florida and my mom, bless her heart, and my dad, rest his soul, thought that I would rather see the ocean than go to Disneyland. Well, yeah. So they took me to the ocean instead of Disneyland. Although I will say the pictures, like, I don't remember it because I was too young, and that was their justification of not going to Disney. They were like, you're not going to remember it, you know? Which they're probably
honestly true.
They're probably right. Yeah. So like looking at the pictures, like my mom said, I had the best time at the beach and we went to this like resort. Aww. But yeah, so we only went on one trip. But I feel like as a mom now and me and Jay being parents, like we really try to make it a priority to take the kids somewhere every year. And I feel like we've been successful in doing that aside from. Well, even last year, even in 2020, we decided to take a road trip safely to Arizona. So we even made it happen then. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So would.
Yeah.
That like, so what's your favorite vacation regard? Like, not even saying like just family, but like.
I would say my 30th birthday in Puerto Rico was my favorite vacation I had. It was so beautiful, so much fun. It was like the perfect weather. It didn't rain at all while we were there. And I've been thinking about that recently, and I actually said this in a more recent YouTube video, that like I always said if you know, once travel opened back up, like I wouldn't want to go back to Puerto Rico because we've been there so many times. But now that I'm thinking mm-hmm. about it, it's a place I genuinely miss. And like I think that's going to be where we go. Like I want to go back there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those places where I think we've been there like 4 or 5 times, and it's just, I don't know, it's just so, so beautiful. And I have not been there since I started collecting plants. And any mm-hmm. of us that know Puerto Rico know they have an amazing rainforest. So I would just, I would love to take like a rainforest hike and just be with the plants and yeah. the bugs.
And maybe not all the bugs, but.
What about you, Adam?
I would say, so when I was between my junior and senior year of college, I got accepted into a program to study abroad in England. And before I went a week ahead of time to backpack to a few spots in Europe, and I that's probably been one of my all-time favorite vacations because I was a small town Midwest boy, like exploring Europe on my own, which just felt so adult. Like yeah. I just mm-hmm. felt like I was on, I felt like I was invincible. I look back at some of the things I did on that trip and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? And also like, how was my mom not freaking out? I'm sure she was, but she wasn't vocalizing that. But, so yeah, I flew over to England. I could drop my bags off at the college cause we could drop them off before. And then I had my big hiking backpack and I flew to Prague and then went to Munich. And then went to school for a few weeks, took a weekend trip to Barcelona, and then went mm-hmm. to Ireland. And honestly, I stayed in hostels the whole time. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had.
That is so mm-hmm. cool. So yeah. cool.
Hostels are so much fun. I love them.
Oh, you just meet the funnest people in hostels. Like, everyone wants to mm-hmm. talk. Everyone wants to hang out. Like, everyone's just, like, chill. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there's such a great environment. And, like, I love that, like, when there's a community kitchen, like, everybody cooks together and, like, you share wine. It's just so cool. I love the community aspect. I've been trying to convince Daniel to stay in one, but he's like, absolutely not. I'm like, come on.
You know,
let's just try it.
They do, like, since you guys are older and married, they do have, in hostels, they do have, like, you know, their separate rooms. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the ones I stayed in were multiple bunks with multiple strangers sleeping in the same room, but...
Yeah. Did you ever do... Well, I mean, it's different because you're a dude, but did you ever do co-ed rooms or all-boy rooms or... I guess that'd be your only two options.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there was not a mix. There was obviously a mix in the hostel, but my rooms were always... Well, actually, no, because I was traveling with two girls, so we were all in the same room. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there was one situation in Barcelona where... I showed up to the hostel and it was, I'm going to tell the story even though it's not going to be too long, but it's just a small room and it had two bunk beds on the side. Like, so three walls were covered by bunk beds. So there were 6 beds in the room and mm-hmm. there was 3 of us. And then there was a guy in the room and he was there with his 2 friends and they were American. And he was like, we haven't found our friend. We lost our one friend. And they were kind of freaking out about it. And this was like the age before cell phones would work in Europe because you needed a special cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
That had a special chip. And I was like, okay. And they were very lax about it. So maybe it was like this guy's MO to just like disappear and then reappear. But so that was during the day. We went out and had our fun in Barcelona, came home at night, two of the guys were in the room sleeping, but I was on one bunk on the bottom, and like literally between us was maybe like 2 feet, and then the other bunk, which was empty. And I was woke up at like 3 a.m. by the sound of a girl talking and giggling. And I was like, so their friend had come back with a girl. And all I could think about was my bag.
No!
My bag was sitting next to my bed. I didn't put it in the locker because I was like, everyone's sleeping. And I was like, my bag's on the floor right there. She's like, my stuff's going to get stolen. And then they proceeded to fornicate multiple times.
Oh my God.
And I could not make myself fall asleep. I tried so hard. And I was just like, please just fall asleep. Please just fall asleep. I heard everything.
I knew the story was going to go there. How did I know?
Talk about traumatizing. Ooh. See, when you guys start talking about multiple beds in one room, I get very anxious and claustrophobic. Like, I don't think I could ever do that. Like, I just don't.
Okay. It's like more fun when you're like bright-eyed, bushy-tail, early 20s person. But like, I stayed at a hostel in California like
not long
two
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah, not long ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, and it sucked. It was horrible. I didn't even sleep. So I don't know if like my first experiences with hostels was like just because I was excited and in Europe, and it was fine. But like, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
I really don't know.
Maybe it was that crazy movie from the 90s that just freaked me out. It was called Hostel. It was gross. It was just like a slasher murder film.
I love you, but it was not from the 90s. It was like definitely like the 2010s.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it came out.
Really?
I think it came out a little bit after I had stayed in hostels, and that was 2007.
Okay. Well, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, now I have to look this up. Because it's going to bother me.
I will say, I think Europe has a better hostel environment than, I don't know. I've only stayed in one hostel in the United States. That was in Chattanooga, which, by the way, I love Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
But there's this hostel that was called, like, the Squirrel something. I stayed there twice. I've stayed there twice, actually. And I had a private room. Obviously, the showers aren't private. The showers are private, but, like, it's like, you know.
It's shared.
Yeah, shared showers. And shared bathroom, but I had a door to the room I could close. And I loved it. It was a great experience.
Okay. Yeah. Hostel, the first one, because there's three of them, came out in 2005. So.
Oh, I was
you're
a little
right.
wrong.
But you were closer than 90s. Wow, I'm old. Okay. Goodness.
That's crazy. I have a friend who had a similar hostel horror story, except she was on the top bunk. And it was happening on the bottom bunk, and it was a group of people. It wasn't.
Those bunks?
She said it was, like, shaking. She's just at the top, like, shaking. And she's like, when will it end?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, the hostels, like, really discourage that.
Get this over.
That'll end it. No, I feel like the hostels, like, if they knew, would really discourage it. But, like, they're not going to, like, the people aren't, like, patrolling, so. But if I was in a top bunk at a hostel, I always ask for a top bunk because I felt like that was more private. Mm. But when I was in Paris, I was up on my top bunk. And there was this other guy on his top bunk, and he was just staring at me. And I was like, what? We started talking, and he was cool. But I was like, what the heck?
No.
I don't know. There's just, like, weird. You just have to be open to, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, not you.
Yeah,
you know,
we got
gotcha.
You.
Yeah. I wasn't engaging in hostel things.
She wasn't.
So
what about you, Becca? What's your favorite vacation?
I think. Well, see. Okay, romping around Europe was great. Wait, does that make it sound like okay?
Yeah, that did make it sound.
Delete that.
Delete.
I'm not deleting it.
That's not what I meant. I just meant to say trouncing around Europe, like flopping around Europe. Oh my God, just please make it stop.
Your brain? What are we stopping?
Running around Europe. Let's go with that. Listen, it was not a sexual experience for me. I just need to say that. Anyway, running around Europe was really fun, but I think, like, the best trip I've ever taken was Iceland with Daniel, I feel like I've talked about it before, like that's where we got engaged, but also it was so cool because we campervan camping, like we did that around the whole island, and we saw like a lot of stuff. We didn't see everything, but we saw quite a bit. And it was just so fun because we both just love traveling so much. Like, Daniel's been everywhere. So it was nice to go somewhere where we both have never been. And it's just such a unique place. Like, I will never go somewhere like that ever again. Like, it was so unique and untouched. And, like, from a nerdy perspective, like, the Icelandic language is completely intact from its ancient language. Like, it has never changed. Because like a lot of languages shift with the times, but Icelandic is still exactly how it was like hundreds of thousands of years ago, whenever they first started speaking Icelandic. So I just think that's so cool that the language has been preserved, and it was just so beautiful. But yeah, that was definitely a high point.
Yeah, and you saw the Northern Lights too, didn't you?
Yeah,
we saw the Northern Lights. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Stunning.
And you wanted, weren't you guys trying to plan a trip there before the pandemic to go back?
Where were we going to go?
You had something planned, I thought.
I've even forgotten. Oh, we were going to go to Australia.
Oh, okay.
We were going to go to Australia. My best friend lives in Australia, and I just would love to see her. She visited me in 2019.
Okay.
Like in September. So really lucky that she came at that time. But yeah. Yeah, Australia is not going to be open for a really long time, I don't think, which sucks. But I'm thinking like early 2022. Mm-hmm. I'm like holding back from having kids until I can go see her, like low key.
Aww.
I'm like, I don't want to have a kid until I go and visit her. So, yeah.
So that's the timeline we're looking at for kids.
That's pretty much the timeline. Yep. Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Man, vacations. Well, before we got on here, we were actually just chatting about how we are possibly going to be able to see each other in the flesh this summer. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time since we've all three been together. I think, what did it make, like a year in March that we've all been together? So, yeah, because when we were together, the last time we were... it was like right when stores were completely out of toilet paper and masks weren't a thing yet, and it was very new to the United States. So it's just going to be really fun to be able to see you guys, and I'm so excited about that. But that'll be a little mini vacation in itself, at least for me and Adam, because we're thinking about visiting Becca. So that'll be really exciting.
Yes, definitely. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to run around mid-Missouri and just... Sounds really fun, doesn't it?
Eat lots of gooey butter cake and get all fat and sassy.
I thought you were going to say run around your 7 acres of land with Leo and Cooper, because that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
That is something we will for sure be doing. Okay. And you'll eat the food from my garden. Perfect. And... the fruit from my house plants. Just kidding. There's no fruit.
Before you get DMs.
Yeah, before I get DMs. No, don't eat the fruit off of your house plants. Alrighty, so let's talk about some best practices for vacations when you're leaving, what to do with your plants. So at what point would you guys hire a house sitter or a plant sitter? Like, how many days vacation would you ask someone to come by?
In the past, anytime me and Jay are traveling together, we usually have a dog sitter here if we're not bringing our dogs. So, but there's been times where we haven't. So I gave my best friend my key and I was just like, listen, after like 7 or 8 days, I need you to go check on those plants. So I would say about a week or so. However, I feel like having plants in LECA, and this is something we could get into later in the episode, really helps in that department, because I have gone to Arizona for 10 plus days and Jay hasn't had to do anything with my plants that were in LECA. So what about you, Adam, if you guys travel?
I would say anything over a week, I would maybe then consider trying to have someone come in, or... I don't know. That's just like that. The whole organization of that kind of makes me anxious just thinking about, because I've never had to do that. But I think if it was longer than a week, if it was like a 14-day vacation, I definitely would have to have someone come in and just do a check.
I it's the same threshold for me, like a week. If it's any longer than a week, but it also depends on the season. So if it's in the summer or the fall, definitely a week. If it's in the winter time, I'd say like 10 to 12 days because the plants are using less and they need less care in the winter time. But yeah, for my honeymoon, I left them in the summer for 10 days and I came back to a lot of really sad plants. I don't think anything. Oh, actually, I killed Fittonia, but that was pretty much expected. So other than that, I don't think that I really killed anything else. There was just a lot that was like struggling on a 10-day trip in the summer. Yeah. So
that's a good point. Season does matter for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what area of the world you're in too. So maybe we can talk about some things we do before we go on vacation, because I know that there's definitely a checklist I have in my head before I go anywhere, regardless of whether or not somebody's going to be here or not. Mainly for the trust issue thing that Adam brought up, because it's like, if the person doesn't know plants, it's almost better to just leave them alone. in my opinion, because I feel like I've had to tell our dog sitter a couple times, like, no, like, don't, the plant's fine. Don't water it every single day. Don't do that, you know? So
yeah,
if people really don't know plants, it's kind of like, you know, just don't touch them. But what are some things that you do? Like, do you guys have a checklist in your head that you go off? Do you like try to water your plants right before you leave? What do you do?
So I usually like think in my head a few weeks ahead of time, like, okay, so if I'll just wait a few extra days to water like XYZ plants so that they'll need a big drink right before I leave, you know, so that their like drink time doesn't come in the middle of the trip. So even if it means like I'm waiting like maybe if one or two extra days, which, you know, the plant might not like love that, but it's always been fine. So I've done that before. And that's really the main thing, is I just make sure that, oh, I'll also move plants out of the window sills to be like just a little bit further from the windows, because then they're getting less like heated up from the sun. So they're going to be using less water. So I'll move them away from the windows and then, yeah, water, give them all a big drink if I can right before.
My processes for watering plants are a lot like Becca's. My plants that are in soil, I always take my plants to a sink or a bathtub and I flood them every time I water them. Like, it's just like, no matter what, I don't walk around with a watering can and just give a little water to each plant. I always do the sink, bathtub, completely saturate once or twice, let it drain, put it back. So I tend to do that with all of my soil plants leading up to like I'm usually like the day before I go. So I'm also like a last minute packer. So I'm usually like very stressed the day before vacation because I'm trying to do all my laundry and then pack and then water all my plants at the same time. And I do the same thing with the LECA plants too. I usually do a flush with all of them and then fill them with the nutrient solution. And then those are usually obviously like 7-10 days. Those don't need touched, but the soil ones, they might need some help within that time frame, you know?
Yeah, I feel like my checklist starts when Becca's does. Like, you're kind of, I'm thinking of it in a sense where like it's starting from the water prior to the water before I leave. So it's like, you know, holding off if I can and like saying like, okay, how many days, and figuring out like when I have to. I really want to water my plants either the night before I leave or like that morning, depending on when I'm going out of town, my soil plants. And then it's like a 2 or 3 day process for my LECA plants, because I'll do like the past two times I've gone out of town having plants in LECA, I think like 80%, 85% of my collection is in LECA now, which is crazy. But I'll go in and I'll like flush them and make sure that they have like fresh nutrient water. And ever since I got my two shelving units that I have most of my plants on, most of my plants are already grouped together. But before I had those shelves, I would try to group my plants together as much as possible, just because they plants do better when they're with other plants. But you know what I've never done, and it's interesting that you brought it up, is move my plants away from the window. I never thought to do that. I always thought like, oh, well, they're going to be better in the window because they're, you know, they want light. But you kind of want to like almost put them in a little bit of a dormancy, like when you go out of town, because you don't want them to use up all that water that they're just getting. So that's really smart.
Yeah. And I definitely don't like put them out of the window and put them in like a dark corner. I'll just I'll just like pull them away a little bit. Like instead of being in like the kitchen windowsill, I'll just put them on the kitchen counter. Because like those couple of inches, it really does make a difference. Because the sun is heating up the soil and making it dry out as well, in addition to the plant using the water. So I've found that it helps prolong things.
And the last time I went out of town, like for plants that I had in LECA, I was surprised. Obviously, all plants are different. It depends on the plant size. It depends on how thirsty your plant is. But a majority of the plants that I had in LECA all still had water left in the reservoir after me being gone for almost 2 weeks. So it really does benefit having plants in LECA if you're someone who travels a lot. Mm-hmm. It's something to definitely consider.
For sure. I remember I read something somewhere, or maybe it was in a podcast, but this person said that if you like to travel a lot, then houseplants probably aren't for you. And that made me so mad. And I was like, who are you to say that? Like, there's so many solutions. There's like hydro spikes. There's asking someone to come watch your plants. Like, there's so many options. So, you know, if you are a person who's like ruled out plants in the past because of you like traveling or whatever, I don't think that's a good reason to do that, because, you know, I love traveling. I try to go on as many trips as possible, and I've never had any issues.
Right. Like,
yeah.
Just asking someone to come by or whatever. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There are so many different products you could use to, if you can't or don't want to ask someone to come by, that can do like watering for you. Essentially. So yeah, it's kind of just like, it's a little bit ignorant to just rule a house. If houseplants bring you joy, you know what, find a way, because there are ways for you to care for them in your absence.
If you're someone who doesn't want to get into LECA, or it, you know, you've just always been a soil person and that's what you love, there's self-watering pots, you know, that you can use that work just as well as like using spikes or using other methods, like to slow release water to your plants, or let them drink what they want when they need it.
Exactly. And using those things even in your regular life can really prolong plant care and everything like that. So so there's hydro spikes, there's self-watering pots. I mean, is there anything else that you can think of? I remember Summer Rain made a video or blog post about this. I think those are the two things that she uses.
Mm-hmm. There was also something else I saw that was like a wall. Maybe it was Summer Rain, but she has that green wall in her bedroom. I'm not sure if she still has it, but she used it for a long time. And it had a self-watering system in it, I thought. But there is something else that I think Amanda Ray Wright on Instagram may have talked about. I could be confusing her with somebody else, so I apologize. But it was kind of the same system where it kind of looked like a water spike, but it had like a tube. Or maybe it was some rain. Shoot, I can't remember. But it was kind of the same concept where it was like a watering system. And there was a reservoir of water and the plants drank as much as they needed from those.
There's two different kinds. There's water spikes that you can do that you can like put a bottle on.
Yeah.
And there's water spikes that you can do that like go into a reservoir of a tube. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's wick watering.
Yeah. That's what that's what I was going to mention.
Yeah. Yeah. Wick watering. I mean, that's used a lot of the time with like LECA, but you can do it with soil too. Just like wrap the soil ball in the cotton rope and then put the rope end in water.
Yep.
Yeah, so you have like a big jug of water and you could have ropes going to like multiple plants from that one jug that will, through capillary action, keep the plant watered while you're gone.
Yeah, so lots of options.
So what's the longest you've been away from your plants? Would it be your honeymoon that you took, Becca, the 10 days? Or have you ever gone longer?
I have. So I went on like a 14-day trip. I went on a 14-day trip back home to Iowa, like Daniel's home in Iowa, and then came back for like 2 days and then left for 10-ish days again. So it was basically a really long time to be gone. Mm-hmm. But I had a roommate at the time who knew how to take care of plants. So I had someone there. I still needed to do some watering when I got back, but she was pretty much there. But I have left my plants for a significant amount of time and had someone there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, with having a house sitter, like, for your plants, maybe we should talk about that, like, how to find someone, like, how to set that up and, like,
yeah,
what to payment and everything, because I've run into, like, really unfortunate situation where, you know, I asked a friend to water my plants for me, and after that went through a really hard time and just, like, wasn't getting back to her and all these things, and it was really upsetting, you know, for her. So, you know, there was lots more to it, but that's pretty much what happened. And so it would have been a lot easier if there was something worked out prior to all of this. Like, okay, here are the terms. Mm-hmm. Even if you are friends, like, here's how it's going to go and X, Y, Z. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, set it up, yeah, as if it is a more formal thing. Just because, like, you never know what's going to happen after your trip. You might be really tired or whatever else. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest, this is my personal opinion from my own experience with this, you know, paying someone in plants, I think, is something if you want to do that. But I think just paying someone with money is, like, a lot easier. And if, mm-hmm, if you've worked it out to where you will pay with them in plants, whatever. But just from personal experience, I think it's just easier to be like, here's $50. Yeah. Come water my plants. You know what I mean? It's just a lot less messy. And, like, you don't have to worry about, like, oh, well, what's $50 worth of plants or right, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just way more cut and dry to be like, I'm going to give you $20. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You avoid, like, the awkward situation to maybe pay them in advance. Because I know for me, like, after I get back from a vacation, I don't really want to do life management for, like, a few days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're gone for a while, or you're exhausted. You have work to get back to. You have life to get back to. And it's just mentally and physically draining coming back from a vacation. This is very, yeah, first world privileged problems. But you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, in your particular situation, it was like you were planning a move. You were buying a house. You were doing all these things that were just, like, huge.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really smart thing to do, is just, like, work out the terms, because, mm-hmm, it's better for everyone involved.
Yeah, transparency. Yeah. You know, maybe you can, even if it is your best friend, just be like, listen, like, I'm going to give you $50 if you can come on this day and just check your plants. And then also, I think that, you know, if it is going to be a friend, if that friend doesn't necessarily know plants, do you guys think that it's smart to leave, like, a checklist, you know, like, what plants, mm-hmm, may need to be watered, or, like, how to water? Like, what's overstepping, or what's too mansplaining when it comes to that? You know, like, what's proper?
I think if possible, if the person doesn't know plants, like, if possible, have them come over in advance, so that you can show them a thirsty plant,
mm-hmm,
and then show them how you water it.
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
And
then hope, like, fingers crossed they remember. But also what I've done, like, with Daniel in the past, because, like, he was home one time when I left, I just had him send me pictures.
Yeah.
Like, or we'd FaceTime real quick, and then he'd, like, take me around to, like, look at everything, and I'd be like, oh, that one looks kind of thirsty. Like, can you look at that? Okay, go water it. So, like, I know on vacation you probably don't want to do that, depending on your trip type, but, mm-hmm, I think have them come over in advance and show them, if they don't do plants, is probably the best bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mentioned this before on the podcast, but Hilton Carter, when I was starting my plant journey, he had, well, obviously he's, like, a pretty big person in the plant community, and I'm sure he travels a lot, before, you know, the panorama. And mm-hmm. he posted on his Instagram stories like this kind of like guide. Well, his own guide that he was using for his own plant watcher. And he used those like tabs that are like the sign here arrows, but sometimes you can get them in multiple different colors, you know, like the mm-hmm. little stickers.
Yeah.
And he had a piece and he had the sticker color and said like how much water to give the plants. And then he put the stickers on the plants. So someone could just look at that guide and be like, okay, well, these plants need a half a cup of water. Because going back to how I water and how Becca waters our soil plants, we flood them in the sink. But you don't have to do that. Like, I'm going to continue to do that when I'm home. But if someone was watching my plants, I could just say, give this plant a fourth a cup of water or mm-hmm. a half a cup mm-hmm. of water, to where it's easy for someone who doesn't know how to take care of plants to know, right. like, okay, well, I can measure a half a cup of water, and I know that this plant has this tag, so it gets a half a cup of water on right. this date. And I just think that's so smart, because it kind of takes the guesswork out of it, because you're giving that water, that plant, enough water to get through your vacation. Maybe it's not right. necessarily how you water all the time, but at least it's not going to die.
Yeah, exactly. It's something. It's better than having it go thirsty.
Yeah.
Oh, I have, if you're a member on my YouTube channel, I have a little checklist that I used one time when I had, maybe it was Daniel, watch my plants. So if you're a member on my channel, you can access that through the member portal mm-hmm. on YouTube. And that's really fun and easy. Maybe I'll make that available for this episode. Maybe we can have that be a downloadable link.
Cool.
We can do that so that everybody can use it. And if you like it, I put out stuff like that every month on my YouTube channel for my members. But yeah, I think, and okay, something cool that you can do is you can just make it a Google Doc or a Word Doc and just save it mm-hmm. and then print it out or share with your friend the link so that you always have this. So you're not reinventing the wheel every single time. I think that's really important, because when you're going on a vacation, you're not, maybe your plants will not be at the forefront of your mind and you're like, oh shit, like I need to get someone to water my plants yeah. or whatever. So like finding someone to water your plants and then trying to figure out how to show them and everything is probably kind of stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's not probably, it is stressful. So have that document that is yours and then just edit whenever you feel like you need to edit it, but just keep it on hand.
So I'm curious to know, do you guys know any sites like, you know how they have care.com for daycare or like nannies or like pet walking and stuff? I wonder if there's any sites out there that actually make it easy to hire somebody just to come and water your plants.
I don't know of anything, but you know Rover, right? For the,
oh,
the
yeah.
dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there's like a plant option. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if there isn't. That'd be a pretty cool thing to start. Listen.
That would be...
You heard it here yeah. first, okay? Nobody steal that idea.
We can...
Nicole's making an app.
What would we call it? Like, rain on me? Make it rain?
Make it rain.
Rain?
Rain on me!
Okay, so there already is something out there, which you can use Thumbtack, which is funny because I used to use Thumbtack to get photography jobs when we first started photography, like... Oh man, whenever Thumbtack came out, I think it was like maybe 8 years ago or something like that. But Thumbtack is pretty much a site that you can really hire any independent, like freelance person. Like, so photography, videography, artists, anything like that. What's another site that does that? Why am I drawing a blank?
Well, there's like Fiverr and things like
okay.
that.
Right.
Upwork. But okay. those are like online.
Right. Okay. So Thumbtack is and hashtag not sponsored. I don't work with Thumbtack. We don't work with Thumbtack. But they're pretty much just a website where you can plug in your zip code and you can say what you're looking for. So you can select any service. And then depending on the job that you're requesting, so like plant waterer, you would get quotes. So you would get like 3 to 5 people, I think I haven't used it in a long time, so I'm not sure what their stuff is like now, but you'd get like 3 to 5 quotes from different professionals, and then you can pretty much just select that person to come and do it for you. and you can pay through the site and everything, and it's pretty convenient. It was convenient for photography. Now, I Googled it, and it said plant waterers in your area, so clearly it's already a thing. So if you're going on vacation and you don't have any friends that you can trust to come to your house, use thumbtack.com.
Yeah.
I have also literally never heard of Thumbtack, ever.
Really?
I haven't either.
Yeah, we used to use it all the time. We used to use it to get, like, little... Like, when we were building our portfolio. I think I got my... No, I got my first wedding through Craigslist, actually. Remember scary Craigslist? Ooh.
Yeah, I got my first STI through Craigslist. I'm kidding. That was a complete joke.
You did?
No, it was a joke.
Oh, I was like, huh? You okay?
That site went south pretty quickly, but...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. So, also, another one I found is housesitter.com.
Oh, okay.
And there's a button you can click to do plants. And, okay, sometimes they set their daily rate. So some of these people, it's like, well, this is like house sitting. But I'm sure it's different if you're just getting, like, your plants being watered once a day. Mm-hmm. But, like, $80 a day, pay negotiable, $55 a day. And if you're getting somebody to come and water your plants, you're probably only going to be gone for, like, what people usually leave for, like, 10 days to 2 weeks at the very most.
Yeah.
You'd probably need someone to come, like, maybe once.
Right.
Or twice.
And it's also good to do something like that, too, because, you know, people might need to have their mail checked. Like, I'm sure they can bring your mail in so your mailbox isn't, like, overflowing. Or, you know, like, if there's a storm while you're gone, like, check your basement. If you have a basement, check, like, windows and stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Like, if you have... Oh, man. This is something I just realized. I'm, like, really excited about this because I probably will need to hire a plant sitter at some point. But my sunroom has a door that locks it off from the rest of the house. So, like, something that I'm so paranoid about because... Okay, no, I haven't done this, but I've thought to myself, like, while I was house sitting, like, I could literally look through all of their stuff.
Yeah.
I don't. Just, you know, I don't do that. But I'm thinking to myself, like, they literally just, like, left their house as is, and all they would ever do was, like, eat their food and, like, watch TV and, like, swim in their pool or whatever. But, like, someone has full access to all your stuff, and I could literally just, like, lock the door to my actual house part and leave the sunroom. You know what I mean?
That
like
would be convenient.
they would get the key to go into the sunroom part, and I could put all my plants in there. It would be hectic, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, that is great.
It's scary not knowing anybody here and like trusting a random person to come into my house. Like even if I know them from Instagram or whatever, it's still like I don't know you. Anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking that too when you brought up like that house sitter, that app or whatever, because I was like, I just don't know how comfortable I would be just having like somebody I don't know, and maybe even somebody I do know, but there's just like free reign of my house and the my nightstand.
Right. That nightstand. We've had a house sitter for literally over 20 years. My mom used to use her to watch our pets when we were little. So she like works with animals and she's really nice, but we don't know her outside of that. And like Jay still, he's very paranoid about stuff like that. Well, plus because we have camera equipment and like, you know, like we have stuff. So we would lock every bedroom door and except for one of the kids' rooms and just let her sleep in one of the kids. Like our kids have like twin size beds. They're not like little toddler beds or anything. And let her sleep in there. And then like obviously access to the bathroom and like the laundry room and stuff like that. But we would lock every door because we know her. Mm-hmm. We've known her for 20 years and we've never had any issues, but still it's like, it's your entire life is in your house, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always important to have a safe. Always have a safe, you know.
Always
no matter
have a
who
safe.
You are.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess Becca,
a fireproof safe
with you. Yeah, I'm sitting right next to mine.
there you go,
Becca. With you saying that you could just like move all your plants into the one room, I think that's even a good idea to do if you have a house sitter or a friend coming over, just a group. Well, like with the tag situation, if you color code your plants, By the way, I, for the longest time, thought it was color coat, and you can still see that I still use that.
No way!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just like you play it by year, I thought it was, or play it by ear, I always said play it by year, because year was a time, and every time you use that phrase, you were like trying to think of a span of time, like, oh, you know, what time should we go? Oh, we'll just play it by year, is what I thought, but I'm outing myself.
I love that. That's so funny.
Oh my God.
I do that often.
You know, if you color code your plants, grouping similar ones together or grouping all of them, like, you know, I know you're moving them from the spot that they would normally be in, but, mm-hmm. you know, a plant's not going to die. Oh, should I say that? A plant's not going to die in like a week or 2 weeks. I mean, they could. Some of them will.
If it's a fucking calathea, it will.
But like, usually not. And like, if it is going to die like that, like you probably would have expected it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good thing to do to make it easier. I guess whatever you can do to ease the burden of your plant care is always good. Yeah. But like, and then I should figure out how to get myself on an app, because I would take care of people's houseplants when they were gone and make a little extra kashish. I know how to take care of plants.
Same.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. Like, side hustle.
I have a little tool belt with my shears and my moisture meter and. Papa's here.
Well, any one of us can go on to thumbtack.com right now, or house sitter.com, and sign up to be a worker bee.
I mean, I don't want to take care of like anything other than people's plants, though. I'm like,
well, me neither. So we'd be very specific to we are houseplant waters. But yeah, like I always said that one of the jobs I wanted, or one of the side hustles I wanted, which I don't know if it's necessarily considered a side hustle, but I just want to work in a nursery and water plants all day. But I don't want to do anything else but like water plants and just, you know, do just mm-hmm. that. Like that would be so relaxing to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of options, right?
When you're going out of town. Yep. I think in the end of the day, we all have to just still remember that, listen, plants, it's just a plant. You know, like, I understand maybe you may have a little bit more of expensive plants in your collection. And, you know, obviously I would be worried about them dying. But to me, and this is strictly opinion, but I feel like a lot of people would agree, vacations and time spent away and creating those memories are so much more important. So I would not put off vacations just because you have houseplants, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's important to get away. Mm-hmm. And also, pretty much every time I've left on a trip, one plant has died,
right.
Even when I had a house sitter. Like, it just happens, yeah. You know?
Right.
When you have people that even know plants, like, sometimes a plant just, like, chooses that moment. And that's fine. That's totally fine. It's gonna happen. Hopefully it's not one that you're, like, obsessed with, but right. Usually it's the plant that's already not doing well that will die, so.
True.
Well,
true.
What do you guys think? Because now I'm just, like, kind of thinking of different hacks you could use. So for the plants, like a calathea, or the ones that are just very needy, do you think that mm-hmm. you could just water them deeply, put them in a clear, like, Tupperware, not Tupperware, but, you know, the big, like, package storing container?
Mm-hmm.
Put the
mm-hmm.
lid on, seal it, and then just, like, do you think that, I think that that would prolong the time that you need between waterings, because it's going to gain humidity in there. The plants are going to respire or whatever, and then it'll stay pretty moist, for a better word, inside that box.
Yeah, no, that's a really good idea.
Because, like, my collection, I've whittled down to mostly plants that can survive in the desert. Well, mm-hmm. survive in my environment inside that I have, which is, like, a lot of Hoya, some philodendron, but most of them, like, most of the ones that couldn't hang have deceased. But, mm-hmm. you know, if I had a couple of those select beauties that are very needy, I think that would be a good option to try. If you don't have the option to have someone come take care of your plants.
Yeah,
I think as long as it's still getting light. Like, you know, just put it on the floor with the lid on top so there's no light exposure. Like, you know, clear bin,
mm-hmm.
getting light exposure. I think that's genius. Yeah. Try it.
It actually really is. If you can find something, like, deep enough, you know, that will fit your plant. I think that that's brilliant because, like you said, I mean, that would probably double the time in which it would need to be watered because it's going to stay super humid in there, you know? I mean, I'm just thinking about my grow boxes now that I have plants in spag and in some clear container grow boxes. And I mean, I may sprinkle some water in there like once a month. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a great idea. And I never thought of that. And you just solve some people's problems.
Mm-hmm. Now I just punched myself in the face trying to do a hair flip.
Well, do you think that there's anything else?
I think that just about covered. I mean, we covered quite a bit there.
We did.
I think that's good.
Should we jump into our question segment?
I mean, who's leading this episode, Nicole or Becca? Because I thought it was Becca.
I am really. I apologize.
It's me for everyone who's wondering.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do the questions.
First question is from Maggie, and she says, first, love the podcast. Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks,
love
Maggie.
You.
Thank you, Maggie.
And then she said her question is, y'all talk about Super Thrive frequently. How often do you use it and how much do you use? I always freak out because the instructions say literally one drop, but I get more than that. Maggie. Okay. Adam, do you want to take this one or?
Yeah, I feel like I'm probably the one that talks about Super Thrive all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I mix my Super Thrive in a gallon jug. So for a gallon, it's about 2 milliliters for a gallon. It is a very small amount. I just follow the instructions on the bottle. So I mix a gallon of Super Thrive water and I feed that to all of my plants all year round. Again, it's not a fertilizer substitute. It's vitamins, it's micronutrients that your plants will love. But it's every watering I give it to them. You can't burn a plant with Super Thrive because, again, it's not a fertilizer. It's micronutrients and vitamins. So I give it to them year-round, every watering, and I just follow the mix usage on the bottle. So for me, I use a gallon jug, 2 milliliters in the gallon, and that's what I use. But yeah, that's it. It's great. Yeah. And it's wonderful for propagating too, because Super Thrive is also like a rooting hormone. So it does make those roots go out quickly.
Next question is from our dear friend, Steve. Yeah, I've killed that on Instagram. He says, does sun stressing a plant, succulents and Hoya in particular, or underwatering them make it a stronger plant? It's a really good question. A question I don't have an answer to. I don't really know.
I would say sun stressing. Well, sun stressing to a degree probably would get it used to more light because the plant will adapt. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sun stress in itself is like an adaptation that it's made to protect itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it necessarily makes it stronger or if the plant is just adapting and like changing.
Yeah.
And being able to tolerate more light.
That's a good question, Steve. You always got the good ones.
He does, man.
What was the last part of that? Does it make it stronger?
Does it make the plant stronger? But also underwatering. Does underwatering your plants make them stronger?
I think no on that one.
Yeah, because I've underwatered plants before and they did. So,
yeah.
Yeah, some plants will, their roots will start to die back. So then you can be more prone to root rot when you do water them. Mm-hmm. If you're underwatering mm-hmm. them. As far as the sun stress goes, I agree with Becca. Like, the sun stressing is coming about because the anthocyanins in your plant are presenting as like a different color. And those cells are protecting the plant from being burned. So it's like, it's in essence like a sunscreen for your succulents and your Hoyas. And it mostly presents itself in red and pinkish hues to try mm-hmm. to, like, protect that plant's chlorophyll from being burned. But I don't necessarily know if it makes it stronger. I think, you know, it makes it, I guess, more, so maybe it would be stronger because it makes it more tolerant to brighter light. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so yes on the first part, No, on the second part.
Yeah, I don't think...
In our opinion.
Yeah, I don't think underwatering.
Right. Good question, Steve. Yeah.
But you know what'll make your plant stronger? Just give it a little shake every day. Just shake it.
Shake it. Shake that stem.
Shake it. Shake it. Shake
it. A lot of people ask me on Instagram, they're like, what is your secret to your Hoyas? Like, constantly, like, they're like, you're always blooming. And I'm not,
your
this is not, this
impressive.
Not even, this isn't even a brag. But I usually reply like, oh, I water them with my depression tears because I think that's funny, but also true.
Also truth.
But no, I really think that a lot of my Hoya are flowering because I am so bad at caring for, like, I'm not bad at caring for them. I let them go way too long without water. So I think it's mm-hmm. all of their last ditch effort to be like, we need to stay alive. So they flower so they can like, so it's like their like last minute, like, help us. And then they put out a flower so they can germinate and like create a new plant. I truly think that's
they're
it.
Stressed AF.
So maybe the underwater does make them stronger. Well, not
stronger.
I was
going to say,
prettier.
So underwatering makes them power.
You get some benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure, because the plant is like stressed AF.
Yeah.
We're going to die. We need to figure out how we're going to stay alive.
We must procreate
somehow.
Now.
Yeah.
Drop your seeds.
Was this the one where I made the bank account joke, or was that last episode?
That was last episode.
Last episode.
Okay.
I'm going to make a deposit.
Make a deposit into my bank account. All right, you guys. Well, I think that will wrap up the episode. So thank you very much for submitting those questions. If you want to ask us some questions for us to answer on the show, we might feature your questions. So email us at... I was about to say the email address of my favorite podcast, not ours. I'm like, I was about to say the wrong name. Email us at poddedtogetherpodcast@gmail.com. And you might hear your question answered on air. So we prefer emails. It's just easier to keep track because DMs are for fun stuff like compliments. I'm just kidding.
No, she's not. I'm just kidding. All the compliments.
But in any case, we really appreciate you guys being here. And go over to our YouTube channel and check out our latest collab. We had a lot of fun filming that video, didn't we, guys?
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. We haven't filmed it yet, but it will be up by the time that you're hearing this. So we know that you guys love our collabs. We love our collabs. So go over and enjoy that. And one last plug. If you're not following us individually on Instagram, please do so on Instagram and on YouTube. We got Not Dude. We got My Clean Leaves. And we got De La Plants. So again, thank you very much for your support of our show. We love you very much, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.